Okay, good.
10 more days to 9/11. Remembrance Day. You know, so remembrance is pagan crap. You know, what about all the Christians that suffered and martyred and died in battles? We don't remember none of that. Remember, we didn't even learn any of it. But what's today's day you said again?
The first.
All right, name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Today's the ninth month, the first day of the year 2024. It's the 15th Lord's Day after Pentecost, which the Lord hath made.
Blessed be God and rejoice.
And it's the feast day of St. Giles and St. Boniface and Thecla and their 12 sons. Why do I say it like that? This whole month we're reading about them. It's in the martyrology, you know, because that time. But imagine that, 12 sons.
Yeah.
What a holy family that is, like the Maccabean mother. You know what, that's rare too, because you say, well, you know, you got good Catholic parents, so they're going to always have good Catholic kids. Well, that's not true, really.
Samuel?
Yes, yeah, you know. You read the Bible. You read the Bible? What happened to Samuel? Samuel and Aaron. Samuel was an extremely holy man, and two of his kids, or one of his kids, was bad. Aaron, too. Two of his kids were bad. So, you could be good Catholic parents and your kids could still be bad, but mostly I would say the average case would be your kids are going to come out good, on the average, if you look at the average. But God does that to show you, it's not always, you know, what does that mean, okay? That means you could teach somebody everything they need to do. The true Catholic faith, by true Catholics, the three pillars, the things all men must do, which I mentioned, you can teach it to your kids. We have people in here that had kids and they were doing it. And I don't want to mention names now, but, and they memorized the Bible verses. They were reading, and they're gone. And they're gone. They slowed up. Things started to happen, fall little by little, and they're gone. So, you know, what's the old saying? You bring a horse to water.
You can't make him drink.
You can't make him drink. But what horse doesn't drink if he's thirsty? So horses are better than humans. So what they're saying is humans, you could give them all of this, and you could be a great example to them, but if they're ultimately a bad will, nothing you can do. And that's why the Bible has a lot of these things about bad kids, depending on how bad they are. You know, they didn't idolize infants or children back then. If your kids were really bad, I mean, for instance, this, if you struck your parents in the Old Testament, they have to stone you to death. Yeah, you're dead, death penalty. Yeah. And then the rest of the kids sit back and go, ooh.
Yeah.
Nowadays, I would lift that penalty. I suggest you can stone your non-Catholic parents if they're the other way around, you know. The parents are really bad. But you're talking about good Catholics, you know. Good parents, good Catholics, you know. You have to have that. But anyway, so that's the end of peace. Thank God. Look at the way he's blessing you. That's amazing. You know, and like Will said, he said, Rich, I feel like I'm in the right place at the right time. The soon has come for that. The time has come. You know, when you're reading it, the time has come. And you guys out there selling, and look, who did he meet this week? The mayor of Las Cruces.
Buddy's friend.
Next week he's going to meet the president of the United States.
He's coming up. Yeah. Had
a Christian's, probably a Christian's eyes, but Trump support old Texas lady, nice Texas lady, old, probably about, I don't know, 65,
70. Yeah.
Came like for like last 3 weeks buying pizzas. And I said, it was last week, I'll be here in November, some apples and some veggies. Oh, well, if Trump wins, you know, I'll come on over. Are you gonna vote this time around? I said, no, I'm not voting. Trump's compromised on abortion, and he said he's pro-abortion now. Oh no, he is. He it's good to go back to the States, and I try to explain, but she got all huffy, starts walking, gave her a car. Oh no, it's gonna be a communist country. You gotta vote for Trump.
Yeah, they're going crazy. They're like these Trump people, the MAGA. They're like.
I'd rather have a communist country that's out in the open than the sinful capitalism.
That's what I told her.
Communism, I don't like communism, but it's a lesser evil, all right? It's still evil, don't get me wrong, but it ain't a lot less evil than this.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you mean? You want to continue the way we are?
Yeah.
Look, if social issues got to mean the most to a religious person,
exactly.
Abortion, homosexuality, same-sex marriages, that don't matter?
No.
What happened? God destroyed. What?
I know.
You say, You don't want a communist country, but let me ask you one thing. Okay, I don't want a communist country either, but it's lesser evil than this. But let me ask you one question. You want Trump, right? He supports homos and same-sex marriages, all right? And what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah because of that? You ain't going to have no country. Yeah. Forget communism. Forget capitalism. Yeah. It's not going to exist. God is going to destroy it.
Great thing, I couldn't get that far. As soon as I said I wasn't going, oh, no. Exactly.
She was going like this. No! Like St. Stephen when he was preaching to the Jews. You Jews! Who killed the both Lord Jesus and her. He came to you and you killed him. You did the same thing to the prophets all over again.
I told her as she was walking off all in a fuss, it says, yeah, well, you guys deserve a communist country because that's you support abortion.
And they do.
Greatest country ever.
Greatest country ever.
Just lost business, bro. Come on, Brother Ryan.
I don't think anything about that. You don't need that conversation. I looked at Brother Will, just bring, get an email from New Mexico. Welcome log cabin Republicans to New Mexico. You know who the log cabin Republicans are. LGBTQS Republicans. Republicans. It's the homo party branch in the Republican Party. And they're spreading like a cancer. So now, they're having a special event. Rick Grinnell's going to be there, the number one leader of the homo movement.
Blockhead.
John Block, another homo. They real knew these guys.
Yeah.
He speaks, he's going back with them for I don't know how long, you know. Yeah. John Block left you up for a long time, but he finally banned you.
Block's an SSP-10.
Yeah, he's an SSP-10er. He's a homo. So they got... Now, Will, you got to get on the whole. Did it happen already? It might have.
September 10th.
Okay, I want to find out who goes to it.
I want to find out.
Does Rebecca. Here's my prediction.
Yeah.
Rebecca Dow's going to go.
Yeah.
I don't know about Diamond or Yvette Hurl.
Yeah, I don't.
Maybe I don't know. But if they go, then it's even more worse.
Yeah.
And Nelly Domenici.
Yeah.
She may go.
Yeah.
You got all these women, right?
I know.
You're only taking over a whole. Sal brought something up. Sure. How the feminists are all over. I'll go back to that in a minute. But he brought in the Passion on high def, a special high def Blu-ray Passion, and he thought it was the normal one. But it's the one where a guy is just, they don't have any subtitles and you don't hear the characters talking.
Sure.
The person's talking in English and he's telling you what's going on. Because I guess people didn't like the Aramaic. They couldn't read the subtitles too good. So he's explaining everything. Jesus is in the garden. He's kneeling down. He's crying. And now Jesus is saying this. So there's a guy narrating it. And you have different people speaking for the different characters. But guess when it comes to when they're speaking, Jesus speaks. Guess what?
It's a woman, though.
Yes, it's a woman. When Jesus speaks, it's a woman.
Unbelievable. Wow.
This is a clip from the blasphemous audio version of The Passion of the Christ. It has a woman's voice for the apostles and Jesus Christ.
The man lifts his arm to the side, and his shaking hand gently touches a tree. As he lowers his arm, the man's shoulders slowly rise and fall. He staggers away and approaches three men dozing by a large tree trunk. A young man with clean-shaven cheeks sits with his chin to his chest. Lying beside him, a man with a thick beard sleeps on his back. The third man, also bearded, leans propped against the tree. The long-haired man lowers his face to his hands.
A subtitle, Peter.
The man against the tree wakens. The other two stand.
You could not watch even 1 hour with me? Master, what has happened to you? Should I call the others, Lord? No, John, I don't want them to see me like this. Are you in danger? Should we flee, Master? Stay here. Watch.
Is that blasphemy? Blasphemy!
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man.
Everywhere you look. There's everywhere you look. And the feminism thing is as big as the homo.
Yeah.
To get these women, a guy told me, he said, the hardest thing's going to be for feminist women to convert because they're so used to this power that they have.
Yeah.
And they're so full of pride. And then you can't tell them what to do. Anyway, all these women politicians.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now I want to see, and anyway, Will even sent him a thing, was good. Did I post it?
What, you, I don't know. If
you, not, I didn't post that, but yeah, Will blasted him. He says, oh, now you feel, now that the RNC supports these things, you guys are way in the open.
Yeah.
He says, well, here's what the Word of God says about the LGBT.
You have zero fear of God.
You have zero fear of God, he said. And he quoted all the verses.
Yeah. Her and Pierce, I sent those two. Yeah.
So this woman, she said, oh, I don't want this country to be communist. Yeah. Look, I'd rather, if I had a choice and I didn't know I didn't need to be here, send me to China or Russia.
Yeah.
I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Either way, I'm done. Or Uganda.
Yeah.
But God wants us here for a purpose, exactly. And he's going to use his country to convert it, and so we're here.
Yeah.
You know, people tell, like Trump, he just said, if you hate Israel and the United States, you don't belong in this country. Get out of here. He linked it with Israel.
Yeah, I know.
So, I mean, I got to love both.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I got to love Israel. So, if I don't like Israel, I'm gone out of the United States.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah, that interview you posted was great. The Russian...
that was. Lavrov.
You know what's interesting? That's so timely because I was studying what's going on in Russia now. Evidently, the Jews are getting pissed off at Putin. They want to start moving out. They're getting scared. And I... Now, here's the thing, when I'm reading his connections with the Chabad and the Jews, he does have connections, and they have influence on him, but he controls them. They fear him. Ever since he kicked out the oligarchs, they're all afraid of him. All the Jews are afraid. So they kowtow to him. In the United States, not only do the Jews have influence over the politicians kowtow to the Jews. So they say in the United States, the politicians are afraid of the Jews, and Russia, the Jews are afraid of Putin. This is an excerpt from an article titled Putin's Jews by Konstanty Gibert and published in the Jewish World on November 5, 2015. Author Masha Gessen says that with respect to religion, all religions, Putin is simply continuing a policy adopted under Stalin. Religion is to be a subordinate part of the state, she says. Conflict, if there is any, is between independent clergy and the religious institution, but not between that institution and the state. And in the case of the war of the rabbis, from Putin's perspective, both Shalevich and Lazar are subordinate to the state. Their personal rivalry might be intense, but it's politically insignificant. The price of Putin's favor can be high. Lazar has said, saying no to the Russian president in general is not something done in Russia. Not all Ukrainian Jews enthusiastically support their government, though of course most do, says Zizels. In Russia, the situation is also not unequivocal. While some people in the community leadership support Putin, whatever he does, the majority remains silent. I call this the Stockholm Syndrome. They have become hostages to the authoritarian system in Russia and cannot speak out. The difference between our two communities today, it's the same as the difference between our two countries. Ukraine is a democracy. Russia is not. End of excerpt. What the author does not say is that the Western democracies are also authoritarian governments in which the apostate Jews and Freemasons rule with an iron fist. Either you support their extreme lefty liberal agenda, or at least remain silent, or else you will be punished and persecuted. The Chabad Jews, they're afraid. They said, if we don't go along with him, he's going to kick us out too. So he still has a couple Jew oligarchs over there. Mm-hmm. Not all, he's got a couple, but he kicked a lot out.
They're religious people, I think. They're,
he's got the... Well,
the oligarchs,
yeah.
They're like Chabad.
Well, they do what he tells them.
Right, and
the Chabad's there too. But here's the thing, I've been studying it because I want to do something about Putin to help him and what's going on. But the Chabad Jews are saying we're at odds with the Jews in the West. They're making it difficult for us in Russia. Because if we support what they support, Putin's going to kick us out.
Yeah.
And they don't want to be kicked out, so the Jews are smart. So now the Chabad Jews in Russia are probably pretending to like Putin and go along with them and maybe secretly try to subvert them, but they're not coming outwardly and doing it because they're afraid of him. If you go against Putin, he'll kick you out. He doesn't care whether you're a Jew or not. He even came out and said something derogatory about the Jews when he pissed them off. And they're nervous. That's why they say a lot of them are getting ready to start moving out. But he still supports them if they listen to what he's saying, but he's the boss. Mm-hmm. They fear him. In the United States, the politicians fear the Jews. Yeah. And you know how you can tell? Well, I just posted up.
Yeah.
They are adamantly opposed to the state of Israel with the one-state solution. They don't want the one-state solution. They're going to definitely do all in their power to stop Antichrist from coming to power because they need greater Israel and they need control over Jerusalem. And Putin's not going to allow that. But the part Putin is going to go along with them, like I said before, is he doesn't like the West. And he doesn't even need the Jews to tell him this. If I was Putin, I don't even need a Bajew to tell me this. I'm in Putin's position. I see what the United States is doing to me in Ukraine and Russia. I see how they support what they're doing to the Middle East and Iran and how they're trying to take over the world. If I'm Putin, I don't need no Jew to tell me this. I'm taking over Europe and the United States if I ever get a chance.
Yeah.
And so if I'm Putin, I'm in the background talking to China and I'm saying we got to stop this monster, regardless of the Jews. Now, that's going to benefit the Jews indirectly, but he's never going to go along with the anti- You see it right now. Yeah. That Lavrov tape that I posted, he's telling you, I'm never going to accept an Antichrist sitting in the Third Temple, let alone dominating a one state in Israel, but the whole world.
Yeah.
He's never going to do it.
Yeah.
But I wanted to study it because they still had some oligarchs over there, and I wanted to see the connections, and then with the, and you read it from the Chabad Jews themselves, and they're arguing with the Western Jews, and they're trying to make like, oh, there's a split between them, and there might be. Eventually, there may be a split between the Chabad Jews and Russia, because Jews are still human beings. They're not a monolithic. They have different ways of thinking. They can convert. There's different kinds of Jews. So you could have a split with the Chabads, but my opinion could be they're not really split. They're pretending. You know, go along with Putin. We need you over there anyway. Because it's better to have some Jews over there than no Jews.
Yeah.
So we got some influence on Putin.
Yeah.
So let's leave the influence we do have over there and go along with them. They tell you. They say, when you're reading their statements, they're saying, we, whatever he wants to do, we do it. Even if they don't agree with it, we just follow him. So they're afraid of him. Because evidently he's still kicking, he's kicked out a few more oligarchs. And so that, and now they're actually starting to tell the Jews to leave. They just had a thing where, in one of his places in Russia where they were attacking Jews, and they also said if any Israelis are landing at the airport, they're going to attack them when they get off the airplane.
Oh, really?
It's in Russia. And Putin didn't say anything. I'm quoting from an article titled, Putin Has Unleashed a Twisted New Wave of Anti-Semitism by the Daily Beast. And this is from 11-1-2023. President Vladimir Putin was the rarest of things, a Russian strongman who was proud to boast of his positive relationship with the Jewish community after centuries of pogroms and anti-Semitism which blighted both Imperial Russia and the Soviet Union. That reputation was destroyed on the global stage last weekend when riotous anti-Semitic gangs roamed through Russian cities looking for Jews to attack, while the Kremlin, which rarely turns a blind eye to any form of street protest or dissent, remained resolutely silent. The unrest began on Saturday when mobs with Palestinian flags raided the Hotel Flamingo in the city of Khashavut in the Russian Republic of Dagestan, demanding that Jewish people should not be allowed to stay. The hotel's management went along with the gang and put a sign on the door that read, "The entrance of Jews is strictly forbidden." Allah says, "To us it looks like the beginning of a new Holocaust in Russia." The Kremlin did nothing. The following day, the Jewish Cultural Center, Nalchik, the capital of the Kabardino-Balkaria Republic in southern Russia, was set on fire amid the rising wave of anti-Semitism. The attackers left clumsily written graffiti on the wall that read, "Death to the Jews." Still, Putin was silent, and the rampaging mob was emboldened. By Saturday night, a crowd of more than 1,500 people had stormed the Machaka airport in Dagestan to meet a plane arriving from Tel Aviv. A local lawmaker in St. Petersburg, Boris Veshnevsky, told the Daily Beast that he was outraged to see Moscow's impotence. Quote, "There are not many words that the Russian language has given the world. The word program is one of them. Today, the community of about 150,000 Russian Jews cannot feel safe. There is nothing to defend us," Vigilensky told the Daily Beast. "The Kremlin is silent. There must be criminal cases opened. There must be investigations into their nationalistic hate, this nationalistic hate. What is this? Who allows this? Who is responsible?" End quote. Hence, Putin's rhetoric towards the Jewish community has taken a drastic turn in recent months. and are pissed off because he didn't do nothing, he didn't say anything, and they're going, uh-oh, the tide is turning. Yeah, the tide's turning. No. Things change.
No.
Things change. One thing is, you know what you're looking at, and you know what's true, because who does the Jew go to when he needs help? He doesn't go. It's the United States.
No, it is.
It's always the United States. It's always the harlot.
Yeah.
Look at Netanyahu. Yeah. He didn't go or speak before the Duma. They wouldn't even let him speak. And they were saying, even though Putin's favorable to some Jews over there, because he still keeps them over there, he can use their economic and their influence, but there's still a lot of Jews over there. They don't like Russians in power. They don't like the Jews.
Yeah.
They know they're dangerous.
Yeah, yeah.
And they said Putin knows it too, but he tries to stay friendly with them for economic reasons and maybe type of a balance. But the biggest difference, and I've been doing a study for about a week or two now, is that the Jews fear him.
Yeah.
He's in control. They do what he said, and he says, "I don't care. I'll kick your ass out of here, Jew or no Jew. You can't do that in the United States. No. The Jew kicks your ass out in the United States."
Yeah.
So here's the big. That's a giant difference.
That is.
I'm doing this, so I want to do a thing to help him, Putin, and guide him, and also tell people what's going on and get a little more deep into it, because when they come out, you see his opposition is what Lavrov said. The guy's normal. He's like straight. You know, even Mersheimer said.
Yeah.
He goes to Russia or China to get regular politics. You see, United States, they're clowns.
Yeah.
You don't even have normal political. Lavrov is telling you like it is.
Yeah.
He says you go in there and you kill the top Iranian leaders, and then the United States don't strike back. Then Macron says you're the aggressor, and you're the one when they killed your guy.
Exactly.
See.
Yeah, you said. What you said was like either they're incompetent or there's madness. Like,
yeah, yeah. No, it's
both.
Мы активно помогали.
On top of facilitating Lebanon in the establishment of its statehood, we actively assisted international efforts to end the civil war in the late 1960s and early 1970s. We strongly advocated for an end to the belligerent actions that Israel took during the 2006 war in a move to address the problems that it identified in Lebanon as threats to Israel through force. This has continued ever since. I think decade after decade we've seen that these issues cannot be resolved by force. They have to be addressed through the recognition of the legitimate rights of the peoples of the region, including the Palestinian people, to a state of their own. However, Israel has occasionally taken action against Lebanon and Syria, including the illegitimate use of aircraft to bomb the territories of sovereign states under the pretext of combating terrorism. And such behavior is still a major irritant. We need to negotiate, we need to deliver on what the United Nations has decided, that is to establish a Palestinian state along the 1967 borders. This is the only way to achieve long-term sustainable peace and long-term security for Israel, and we have a very strong interest in that. These issues cannot be solved by force. Prime Minister Netanyahu has publicly said he does not care about the establishment of the Palestinian state. What he cares about is Israel's security. This is essentially a declaration of the refusal to implement a UN decision. This is very sad. And what's particularly sad is that Washington condones any decisions taken by Israel. In the UN Security Council, Washington blocks any agreements which would lead to a comprehensive permanent ceasefire. Washington keeps sending weapons to Israel. These weapons are used to continue acts of violence against the people of Palestine, where over 40,000 civilians have died during the 10 months of the operation. Following October the 7th, 2023. This is a horrendous figure, and the methods used to collectively punish the Palestinians for the terrorist attack of October the 7th, which was committed by Hamas and which we denounced, are no less criminal in accordance with international humanitarian law. The Middle East has been able to maintain a precarious balance until now, and what is the probability of the current situation and the ongoing escalation, especially amid the Gaza negotiations, degenerating into a major war between Iran, Israel, and neighboring countries? I think Israel is the only party that would welcome this development. The current hardline government of Israel is not really making a secret of it. They would probably like to use this moment to try to solve all their problems with Hamas, Hezbollah, pro-Iranian groups in Syria and Iraq, and, as you say just now, with Iran itself once and for all. Iran is extremely reluctant to rise to the bait and would like to stay away from any large-scale military action. But it's been provoked. The assassination of Ismail Haniyeh, the political leader of Hamas, and the presidential inauguration ceremony in Iran is most certainly a provocation. the assassination of Ismail Haniyeh, the political leader of Hamas, at the presidential inauguration ceremony in Tehran is most certainly a provocation. When Iran stated that it reserves the right to respond, the Americans started persuading them that maybe it's not necessary. Macron and other figures from the European Union began saying that we call on Iran. So they've turned everything upside down. It's no longer Israel that needs to be calmed down to stop committing political assassinations, but Iran needs to swallow this and be ready for more situations when it will be pushed towards thoughtless steps, and it must absorb all without saying a word. They're currently trying to push some substitute onto Palestine, like enclaves, which are closed and controlled by Israel along the external borders. I'm sure nothing good will come out of this.
You recently said that Zelensky would never dare to invade the Kursk region without a command from the USA. This is what the West is trying to achieve with such actions, as well as by pumping Ukraine with new weapons and mercenaries. There are also reports in the press about a possible replacement for Zelensky. If this happens, will there be negotiations with Kiev?
Regarding the goal of those who organized the provocation in the Kursk region, the invasion of Nazi units with a large number of mercenaries or maybe contract soldiers, there are already recorded foreign speech. It's hard for me to judge what the intention was at this situation because our Western colleagues have been very convoluted in their minds and they sometimes perceive things in their own way. Everything gets twisted and then nothing comes of it. What was the idea behind the invasion of Afghanistan? To destroy terrorists? How did it end? With a failure and a disgraceful escape. What was the plan for the invasion of Iraq? To destroy weapons of mass destruction. Turns out there weren't any. By the way, the Iraqi leadership and the Iraqi parliament have been asking the Americans for several years now to withdraw their remaining military contingents, while the US, as a country that respects sovereignty, respects independent countries that are members of the UN, doesn't want to leave there. But in the end, they will still be asked to leave. Or Libya. They destroyed a state that was probably the most prosperous in the region in socio-economic terms. Almost free gasoline, free education, including abroad. And look what state Libya is in now. Therefore, it is very difficult for me to judge what goal they set and what their intention was. But what political scientists are discussing now, and even what Zelensky has said, sometimes he makes confessions as Freudian slips. He said that we would need it for future exchanges, that we will capture prisoners and seize square kilometers. That's quite simple-minded, naive. We do not discuss our territory with anyone and do not conduct negotiations about our territory. Every time Ukrainians prove their complete inability to negotiate, and each time the West proved that they only need Ukraine to hurt Russia, to irritate Russia, to fight against Russia, and nothing more. In Istanbul, less than a month after the start of our special military operation, it was very easy to come to an agreement compared to what we see now. They didn't want that because they haven't completely, as they thought, achieved their goal to constantly exhaust Russia. So I'm sure that there's really nothing to say about the Kursk region. We are ready to settle the situation based on realities. Realities on the ground, realities in the Russian constitution, where it's clearly stated that we now have, in addition to Crimea, four new subjects of the Federation, the DPR, the LPR, Zaporizhia and Kherson regions. And of course, with all this, there can be no talk of Ukraine joining NATO. This isn't just a red line, this is not an option. And those who are trying to impose such conclusions, saying let's leave Ukraine whatever it has now and accept these remnants into NATO and everything will be fine, those people are dreamers and provocateurs. Therefore, our position is clear.
So under these conditions, a return to the topic of negotiations is possible in principle.
We're not talking about any negotiations right now. President Putin has repeatedly stated that those who make certain statements, implying that Russia is somewhat pushing away from the negotiations while Ukraine is ready for them. He said many times, at least tell that to your Zelensky when he's in a sane mind, if it ever happens. Tell him to repeal his own decree banning negotiations. Or take the latest speech by Borrell during the recent ministerial meeting of the European Union. He said again that there is no other alternative for negotiations except for Zelensky's formula. I thought they are at least somewhat educated, so they have at least some understanding of how to conduct politics based on reality. It's clear that Borrell probably wants to go down in history now as the number one Russophobe in Europe. He is stepping down from his position. Either it's amateurism or it's just madness that has replaced the reason of diplomats and politicians in the West.
And now, there's no doubt that the Jews are coy on this, too. They're poking them. The Jews themselves are poking Putin in China. They're poking them to come after Europe, and they're poking them to come after the United States. And they have ever, even if the Jews didn't poke, well, they are poking. If the Jews didn't poke them, they wouldn't have no, but they are. He sees it. What is Putin looking at? He's looking at Judeo-Freemasonic West breaking his ass. Jews know that he doesn't want Israel. That's a negative to them, and they know that. They said, we're going to have trouble with him later on. But let him take over Europe and the United States, and we'll deal with him later. And that's what's going on. Mm-hmm. But they know ultimately they're never going to control him or China, and that's where we come in, preaching to them. That's why this is so very, again, it links to everything that's going on now. And people can really see it maybe clearer now when they see Netanyahu come over here before the Congress, and they gave him like 69 standing ovations.
This is from Netanyahu's speech before the U.S. Congress on July 24, 2024. Notice the applause, the adoration he gets at the beginning of his speech. And it went on throughout his whole speech. For a full report, see my video on Antichrist Netanyahu visits his harlot, the USA.
Members of Congress, I now have the high privilege and distinct honor of presenting to you His Excellency Benjamin Netanyahu, Prime Minister of Israel. Thank you.
The guy is like, everyone's afraid of him.
Yeah.
Everyone's afraid of him. The one guy that goes against the Jew, he's off on APAC. One guy out of the whole thing. All President Nixon saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, oh, I'm afraid of the Jews too. You don't hear Putin saying that. No. And that's the difference. Yeah. He never let them get to the position where they have so much power that they control him. And that's why he would kick out the oligarchs that started to buck him and to corrupt his society. He kicked them out. And the other ones told, he still got some over there. So they told a line. You told a line. You break over that line, you're dead. I don't care who you are. And they know that. There's anybody who crosses Putin and goes against what he believes is good for Russia, they're gone.
Well, he backs Iran, and his friend, and he's doing business good with China.
Right.
And
those are the three big bad guys.
Yeah.
That's in the Book of the Apocalypse, right?
Yeah.
In the beginning, you got these 10 kings serving the Antichrist, and Russia, communist Russia was, even under Yeltsin and all that in China for a period of time, in Iran. But now they're not. They're not gonna.
Yeah.
The 10 kings in the Book of the Apocalypse, as mentioned in Apocalypse and Daniel, these serve the Antichrist first secretly and then openly. And they helped the Antichrist destroy the harlot, which is the United States of America, and apostate Rome. But three of these kings are going to rebel against the Antichrist and not ultimately serve him, which is Russia, China, and Iran. I'm quoting from my article, Brief on the Seven Heads and Ten Horns of the Beast. In his vision, Daniel saw 10 horns on the fourth beast. This is the same beast that has 10 horns as recorded in Apocalypse chapter 12, verse 3, chapter 13, verse 1, and chapter 17, verse 12. And Daniel's prophecy tells us more about the 10 horns. This is from Daniel 7, chapter 7, verses 7 to 8. And after this, I beheld in a vision of the night, and lo, a fourth beast, terrible and wonderful and exceedingly strong. It had great iron teeth, eating and breaking in pieces and treading down the rest with its feet, and it was unlike to the other beasts which I had seen before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, another little horn sprung out of the midst of them. That's the Antichrist. And three of the first horns were plucked up at the presence thereof, and that's Russia, China, and Iran, and behold, eyes like the eyes of a man were in this horn, and a mouth speaking great things. So that's the Antichrist. And the ten horns are the ten kings that serve him, and three of them are going to rebel against him and not serve him. And we read in Daniel 7:24, and the ten horns of the same kingdom shall be the ten kings, and another shall rise up after them. He shall be mightier than the former, the Antichrist, and he shall bring down three kings. End quote. The ten kings are ruling just previous to the public reign of the final Antichrist and help to bring him to power. The Antichrist is ruling them in secret. Three of the kings will rebel against the Antichrist. And when he comes to public power, he will pluck them up, remove them from his kingdom. And that is China, Russia, and Iran. They will still have power, but they will no longer be part of his kingdom. They are already rebelling against him at this moment even. And eventually it will be a total rebellion against him.
Yeah, they're still going to serve him as far as, even indirectly, the Jews even have to, well, the Jews pushing him for war. They really want him to go into the Europe and all that. But ultimately, those are the three, it says, those three get cut off, you know, and one comes up from that, and that's the Antichrist when it comes to full power. Those three get cut off because they're not going to serve him. That's the three. I don't see any other people that are being targeted harder than China, Russia, and Iran. Those three. Because the devil knows, and his devil knows, God tells him what's going to happen. He knows the
plan. I think it's South Africa, Nicaragua.
I think Madagascar.
Greenland.
Greenland. Yeah, Greenland. That's where it is. It's the girls, green people. You know why they call them Greenland? Because they're Martians. They come from Mars. We're going to be invaded by Mars.
It's funny, Brother Bruce and I watched a documentary on Iran. He's NBC or some reporter. I forget what his name was, but he went to Iran, like, in the thing. They went to the filming, like, the top guys.
And you know, the Iranians,
they
too.
They crack down if you don't do what the government
you look. Yeah. That's right. That's why they don't like them.
Yeah, yeah. I know.
No feminism. No homos. That's why they don't like the Arab nations, those Middle East nations. Well, or Russia. Russia's a little bit, he's still a little bit, he doesn't like them, though. So he's trying to get rid of them. But they still have abortion on the books. But they're saying they're not enforcing it, so he's getting better on that. China's better on the abortion issue, but they're good on the homo. They don't support the homo issue. So it's a give and take so they're not 100% neither. I want to show you what a Marine looks like. Come here, you got a Marine cut. Look at him. Will gave him his new Marine cut.
No, Nick.
Nick. That's great. See the Marine cut? The buzz cut? That's the one we do. There you go. That's the Marine cut. All right. While we're talking about it. And I don't want to be a United States Marine. I want to be a crusader.
Yeah.
We got to start using the word crusader instead. How about that, huh?
A faithful crusader.
Brother, Josh posted up some good pictures on the crusaders.
Yeah.
Well, you know. But I think India's going to have, of course, you know, you can go on and on. But you got to look at what the enemy is mostly fearful of.
Yeah.
It's us. But he doesn't say it. He doesn't want to say it because, you know, any publicity is good publicity. Yeah. But secretly, in the back room, us the most, it's true. But you got to be in the cultic, real close connections with Satan to know that we're that way. And they do, it's people that know that. But other than that, in the political world, those are the three people you're always, you hear them talking about.
Yeah.
And now they can sway people too. But, so there's going to be, and you know, it's interesting because, and I'll go even further on this. Netanyahu, just last week, and their government, for the first time, is telling the Orthodox Jews that they got to go to fight in the military. Now, we read the Bible, right? You read the Bible? If you're a priest, Levites don't fight. You don't fight. It's just like a Catholic priest and a bishop. General rule. They could fight because Maccabees are Levites. So you could fight, but as a general rule, the Levite and the priesthood, unless it's an emergency and they need you to fight, your job is to sanctify, teach the people, sanctify them, and guide them religiously and do the religious work. So you're not supposed to fight. So these Orthodox Jews, they're angry. And they showed them over in Israel, like the IDF, hitting them with batons, smacking them over the head, arresting them. This is good, though. Why is this good? It could get some of these Orthodox Jews to finally realize this is what you're bringing to power. And you'll say, well, Netanyahu, he's religious too. He calls himself an Orthodox Jew. He aligns with those people, but he's a liberal. He's like Trump says he's a Christian.
Yeah.
I believe he's a Talmudic Jew, but he supports immorality.
Yeah.
Netanyahu supports the homos. But at the same time, he's religious. He wants he thinks he's like, I think he may be one of the Antichrists. He might be. And so he's religious, but he's immoral. So here's the conflict with these Jews that want to be moral, because they do. If you look at the Bob Jews, especially Nitori Carter, even better. They've been getting their heads busted in Israel for a long time. God's setting these Jews up for conversion.
Yeah,
He is. Because if you want to keep God's moral law, and you're angry now because they're taking away your ability to have a priesthood where you don't got to go to military, it's getting them pissed off. So God could be paving a road to convert them. Because what happens is, when Antichrist comes to power, although he's going to be religious because he believes that he's the Messiah, he pretends to believe in the Bible, he's extremely immoral. So if these Jews are going to be sitting like, a Frankenstein movie?
Yeah.
You know, like the Dr. Frankenstein? Yeah. Like he made Frankenstein and then he rebelled on him. In the end, the monster turned on him.
Yeah.
These Jews, they are definitely bringing Antichrist to power. The Abad Jews, even the Tory Carter, in a different way. But when they see him come to power, he's not going to be what they expected. And then it's going to be wonderful just talking about this. Because when they see that happen, they're going to go, whoa! Because I saw them beating up these Orthodox Jews and arresting them, putting the cuffs on them. I said, Jew against Jew. Now we got a problem going over here. You Orthodox Jews, I wanted to bring your Messiah to power. If it's this guy, you ain't going to like him, right? So it looks like the guy's going to come to power. You're not going to like him. Where are they going to go if they want to have morality and they want to have sanity and they want to have a true Messiah? Us. There's going to only be two powers at that time. Him, us. All
right?
You're going to have to look at what we're teaching. Do we support feminism? Do we support LGBTG communities? You know, do we support any of these abominations that this Antichrist is going to be supporting? You know, so they're going to have to make a choice. And when we looked at that clip on how they live in Williamsburg and Brooklyn, their own neighborhoods, they're not even as bad as the nominal Catholics. If you look at them, they don't have feminism. They hate the homos. Their kids are privately schooled. They got their own stores that they go to. I mean, they're better than nominal Catholics. I see, what I'm telling you is I see God paving the road, as prophesied in the Bible, for these Jews to be converted in these final days. And I'm looking at that whole thing, too, to find out what's going on with the Jews in Russia. You know? Like, ever since you started to get the Holocaust, they started to get nervous. Now, evidently, they're panicking even more. Especially since this thing happened where, I don't know, they were beaten up or persecuted or killed, maybe some Jews, I don't know. And some were going to come off the plane, the Israelis, and they were going to kill them. And Putin didn't do anything. And they told him, and he didn't say anything. So, you know, I also, Putin, of course, he's not 100% neither. I heard he just praised the Quran the other day, last week, you know. He's got a lot of Muslims in Russia. See, we got to talk. We got to talk.
Yeah.
Sit down, Vladimir. I got to talk to you. You sound like JP2 with the Quran crap, you know?
So
he's not 100% religious.
Even
either.
With the Jews, too, like if you deny the Holocaust, they said it's up.
Oh, yeah.
You can get 5 years in prison.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what they used to
say. Yeah, because he's sort of like a JP2 kind of a thing.
Yeah.
But he's better than that, though, because he will go against Israel.
Yeah.
The Vatican II Church will not go against. Yeah. And he's wrong about the Nazis.
Yeah, exactly.
I really got to talk to him about the Nazis. He's hell-bent against the Nazis.
He is.
And you know why. Nazis are nominal Catholics.
Yeah.
It goes back to the old Catholic battle, going back to the days of the Crusades, when the Catholic Crusaders went into the Schismatic East, and they had to pass through Constantinople, and they were fighting with the Schismatics all the time. It's the age-old battle of the Catholics against the Orthodox. The unorthodox Schismatics. That's another reason why he doesn't like Hitler and the Nazis. When I do my lecture, I'm going to say, you are exactly like Hitler, except for your religion. He was a nominal Catholic. You're an unorthodox Schismatic. But to them, it's a big difference. Bugs, in every other way, though, you are just like Hitler.
Yeah.
He was a little better than you, but you're a lot like him.
Yeah.
You know, you see what the Jews are doing in your country. You see about the corruption. You don't want it happen in yours. He didn't want it happen in Germany. He kicked out the Jews. You're kicking out the oligarch Jews. He brought it back in morality. You're trying to bring the morality back in a little at a time, but he's still trying to do it. Hitler was better. Hitler closed down the Masonic lodges. And I'm telling you, you got to go and follow up with Hitler. They do even more. I said, you and Hitler have a lot in common. But the one thing they don't have in common is the big thing. It's not a small thing. It's religion. It's the age-old battle between the Catholic Church and the unorthodox schismatics in the East.
That's a war over it.
That's the battle. Yeah. And he wants, and he doesn't like that neither, see? So, but the Nazi thing, they got to stop talking about it. In the whole, they play that card all the time. Yeah. Well, you know what's just kind of weird about that, too? Because he's talking about the Ukrainians, like they got these Nazis fighting for them. Well, wait, there might be skinhead Nazis, but they're not the ones Hitler would support. You know why Hitler wouldn't support them? So don't really call them Nazis. They're like freaky Nazis. They're like neo-Nazis. They're like new Nazis that aren't really the ones Hitler would support. How do I know that? Those Ukrainian so-called Nazis are fighting for Zelensky in the West.
Yeah.
Hitler hated it.
Yeah.
They're fighting for Jews.
Yeah.
Does it make sense?
No.
The Jews who tell you how bad, big bad the Nazis are and they're afraid of them are supporting the Ukrainian so-called Nazis. And they might call themselves Nazis. Today's skinheads, the neo-Nazis, they're freaks. Tattoos all over the place. Heart, this crazy metallically satanic rock. They're diabolical. Hitler would kill them. Look how clean cut those Germans. Hitler would kill their ass. They give Hitler a bad name. Mm-hmm. Just like nominal Catholics give us a bad name. Go ahead.
Putin's done a weird reverse psychology, if you want to call it that.
Yes.
Everybody knows Nazis are all bad.
Yeah, that's why he's doing it. But he's sort of using it against them.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like it's a game they play, but he shouldn't play it, is all I'm going to tell him. He should, maybe this lecture, we'll send it to him. He shouldn't be saying that because they're not Nazis. If they were real Nazis, read their party program, anybody that's influenced by the Jews or the Jews are anathema. They fought against them. They didn't fight for them. They didn't fight for the West. They didn't fight for Zelensky people. It's the last thing in the world they would ever do. But, yes, you do have these neo-Nazis. They're like a whole different breed. They're really weird. The skinheads.
Yeah,
they're freaks.
They kind of incorporated into like the gang life. There's a big prison gang known as the
Aryan Brotherhood.
And they incorporated the Nazis like huge
into gang life. And Hitler hates it.
Most
they did.
I think it's part of the initiation.
The current day so-called Nazis, the neo-Nazis we call them, they are racists, a lot of them. They hate Jews. Hitler never hated Jews. He abhorred the ones that were really bad. He admired the ones that were good. And he had them even working in his Third Reich if they're Christianized, baptized Jews, and they were in his army. So these neo-Nazis, it's like all Jews are evil. They do drugs. They got tattoos all over the place. They're disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
Hitler would have their ass killed along with the rest of the people. In other words, it's an embarrassment. Don't even use the word. And same thing with nominal Catholics. You can say, these people going around calling themselves Catholic, what have they done to us? They call themselves Catholic, and we're completely different poles.
Well, some of those neo-Nazi guys, they bought the lie that the Jews made that Hitler is a racist. And
I
think it's good that Hitler is a racist.
They like that. They broke the lie.
Yeah.
And you know why I said it, why they're culpable? Because you could have been lied to like all of us. We grew up thinking Hitler was a racist. He hated blacks. He hated. Then you realize when you read his stuff, he didn't hate. He didn't even hate the blacks.
No.
He wanted to. He believed that the German race was superior culturally and educational-wise, and he was right.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with saying that. That's a fact of life. He didn't hate the Africans. He wanted to raise them up to German standards.
Yeah.
That's a fact. So when you study it yourself, you realize you've been lied to. So my point, if you're deep into this neo-Nazi crap, to the point where you're going to join these groups, you better start studying what you're being told. That means mandatory you got to read Mein Kampf, right? Well, if you read Mein Kampf, you're going to realize half the stuff they told you about Hitler is a lie. That he wasn't a racist. That he didn't hate other races. That he didn't like tattoos. He didn't like drunkards. He hated alcoholics and drug addicts.
I wonder if they have different translations for that. That'd
be interesting. Yeah. Chinese read the book. That's Hitler really nailed everything so perfectly about the situation we're in, and sinful capitalism too. And they lump the words into giving. They use the word socialism. They want you to think it means communism, Marxist communism, which is evil. But he fought it. Here's another thing, Putin. I hope you listen to this lecture, Mr. Putin. Please. The Soviet Union was communistic, yeah, and was full of Jews running your country. Hitler was fighting against them, the same ones you're now kicking out. That's my point about they got a lot in common. He knows this. So why do you keep going after Hitler when he's doing the same thing you're doing? He was fighting the communists and Jews that oppressed your own people. He was liberating your own people that you're serving and you're liberating. So the only reason you can see him doing this is two reasons. Maybe because he wants the politics, the West is pissing him off because there's so much poking him now, but also the religious issue too. But there's, if you look basically about what Hitler did, that's what Putin's doing. Now, in China, you don't got Jews running China. It's Chinese running the Chinese, even under a communistic, capitalistic party, which is really, to me, an ideal economy. Look at the way they're running it. It's working good. The Chinese control China, no Jews. Now, they have money from the Jew, has some influence over the Chinese because of the finances, but Chinese still run China. And the Jews got a total line over there. You got to be careful how they deal with China. Because the head of the party and the people, you know what, I was reading something too, they said the Jews said it was hard to infiltrate China because they don't look like Chinese. That's what they said. They don't look like Chinese. It's easier for them to intermingle in other countries, if you read this, but it's very hard for them to infiltrate because they don't look like Chinese. Unless you got to marry off your kids and they got to look like Chinese. They may have a few people in there, but that's the only thing. So, I mean, your Russian people would have invited, and Russians were fighting for Hitler against the Bolshevist communists. So he's against the same people Putin's against. But he's doing it for a political purpose because he's trying to say, you got these people calling themselves Nazis in the Ukraine, and you Jews are supposed to, you know, and that's why he pumps the Holocaust lie too. He plays off of that. And so these Nazis. Use logic. He knows what we're saying is true, by the way. But like you said, he's playing politics. Now, wait, let me get this right. The Nazis that can't stand the Jews, the apostate Jews, they know they're corrupt in the world. They don't even like any Jew. Maybe some of them don't even like a Jew if he's racially a Jew. They're going to fight for Zelensky in the West? I mean, are you kidding me? And the Jews going to give them money to fight? Because if he was a real Nazi, he would take that money and kill the Jew who gave him the money.
Yeah.
He would use it to fight against the West, which is completely in the control of the Jew.
Yeah.
That's the real thing. So you got this wacky, and you know, the neo-Nazis, I believe, the Jews love them.
Yeah, yeah.
The Jews love the neo-Nazis.
That's their
yeah. That's why they probably are hiring a guy. Yeah. They love them. Yeah. But I don't know how these guys just a real neo-Nazi even don't even like the Jews, so that don't even make sense. Yeah.
Well, it's their sign of a, see, this is what a Nazi is. These are Nazis. Mm-hmm. And
that's why Satan and his Antichrist and the apostate Jews love the nominal Catholic Church. They love it more than anything. Because you want to know why? That's Catholics.
Yep.
See, that's the way Catholics are.
Yep.
See how goofy they are?
Yep.
See how stupid they are?
Yep.
See how indifferent they are?
Yep.
See how immoral they are? See how corrupt they are? Ha ha! That's Catholic. But it's not.
Yeah.
We are.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the worst crime that's been committed in the whole
yep.
world.
Yep.
And God allowed it to happen.
Yep.
Apocalypse chapter 13, it was given Antichrist to blaspheme God, his tabernacle, and then that to all in heaven, all the saints in his holy Catholic Church. And they blaspheme our Blessed Mother. As Brother Sal just brought up, they got Jesus, the guy that's a talker, it's a woman who's talking for Jesus. When Jesus talks, it's a woman.
Yeah.
Look what they did at the Paris Olympics with the mockery of the Last Supper.
Yeah.
We're not living in the final days. But things are heating up.
Yeah.
So, people change. Even Jews change. You got to be careful with that. Like I say many times, I thought, you think this way when I was growing up, even all Jews are old. Because the Jews I saw, I was Catholic. I didn't even know I was a Jew until later on. But the ones I lived around a lot and worked for a lot of them.
Yeah.
When you see them, you go, if they're all like that, woo, you know, they're not all like that. And now, when you look at Yoav Shamir and compare him to Netanyahu,
Yeah.
Look at Yoav Shamir.
Yeah.
And even, he was a liberal Jew, but the other guy that
Mark
did it. Yeah, Mark Levine.
Yeah.
Yoav was a little better, but they're not the same. Look at the Notori Carthages. Look at the Habajus. That's why I posted up on The Chosen how beautiful that series is. I love it because you look, it shows the different kinds of Jews back in the time of Christ. You had Jews that believed in Christ, Pharisees that believed in Christ, those that weren't sure, and those that hated him. And there's three different groups, and they're all Jews. So there's different kinds of Jews. So you don't want to put them in a box. You look at how Finkelstein even testified about what's going on in Finkelstein. What was that clip I posted up? It was Finkelstein. It was three Jews.
You can sell pies. Huh? You can sell pies.
About Gaza.
You think I can?
Was it Dershowitz in there or no?
No. They were testing.
Robert Titsy called
Oh, the guy in Israel. He was talking in Sherlock Holmes. He goes, you got to be like Sherlock Holmes with a magnifying glass to find an anti-Semite in America. Because anti-Semite in America, bullshit.
Yeah.
There's no anti-Semitism in America.
Yeah.
They've never had it better.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's just wrong to say anti-Semite when in the United States, when you're the most powerful people in the United States, in the West, you control everything and you say anti-Semites?
Yeah.
At least the guy's more honest.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, you know, things are moving up, you know. You got to look at, the main thing we look at is what does the country itself implement and what is it teaching. And what's going on in the global system? And even though we know that things go on in the background, they manipulate Hitler. Okay, everything he did was good, but in the end, the Jew knew because the devil knows he's going to win. Even before Hitler lost, the devil knew he's going to lose, and the Jew knew we can use Hitler to trump up this anti-Semitism thing and the false Holocaust as a benefit. So after, even though he comes to power and closes the lodges when he loses the war, we can stand above him and say we're superior to him and everything he did was wrong. So they used Hitler to their advantage, but Hitler himself, everything he did was correct when it came to what he was doing against the Jews. It was 100, he closed all the Freemasonic lodges, which was their heartbeat. That's their life. The Jew without the Freemasonic lodge can never take the world over. He's not enough people. He doesn't have enough people. He needs the masses of Gentiles to follow him. And then he's got the Zionists. He's got the Zionists. Maybe this is the lecture I wanted to do for Putin, but I'm going to do maybe another one even more, but he has to realize that stop with the Nazi stuff, stop with the Holocaust stuff, don't praise the Quran. Now I'm sure his own unorthodox schismatic people are telling him that, because he's not 100% religious. I know he goes to the Orthodox Church and all that, but he wouldn't be talking about the Quran like that. So he's got problems. But they're a lot easier to overcome than some of these other people. He's going to need miracles, just like the Chinese are. You know, think about the scandal of the Chinese. If you went over right now, we tried to convert the Chinese. I sat down with Xi Jinping to play some ping pong or something. And he probably beat my ass off on the ping pong. Those guys are good on ping pong. And I sit down and talk to him. And the first thing I say to Xi Jinping, I'm here to tell you that the Catholic Church is God's one true church. He goes, whoa. Stop. That church is God's church? No. I don't mean that church. You know, if you don't correct yourself, he's going to go, I will never come into that church. That is a saposaurus, non-punishmental, non-judgmental, non-punishmental church. That, you know why he can't stand the nominal Catholics in China, especially because they're wimps. Yeah. Hitler had the hardest time with the nominal Catholic prelates in his day. They gave him more trouble than anybody. Yeah. They were saps. Yeah. They didn't believe in killing anybody. They didn't believe in shutting down lodges. You realize that Hitler... my father lived over in Hungary, and my father's father's father, my father was in Hungary during World War II, and they were on the fighting for the side of the Germans. The Nazis were so good. They were so, like, he said, if you rape in the German army, you die. They hang you. He said they treated the people so well. They were, he talked about how bad the communists were. But he said that when Hitler came into Hungary, the drug problem was over in 2 weeks. Yeah. He got every major drug. Mussolini did that in Italy, by the way. He took every major drug dealer, big one, and killed him, and put the other ones like in a rehab thing, and it was over. Yeah. It was done.
Yeah.
It was done. Yeah. I mean, now, yeah. Russia still has a problem with drugs and all that, because Hitler, I mean, Putin, who's, that's why I say he's like Hitler, but not 100%. I'm sure he wants to do it, but he doesn't have the power to do that. He's afraid that even some people in his own country may go against him. But that's really, if you want to really purify, you got to do what Hitler did. And he closed, and closing the Masonic lodges is a big, and kicking the Jews out of power, big, big pluses. Yeah.
Well, Putin probably has more even pressure nowadays with Western people invading his country.
Yeah. You know? Well, here's the thing. That's right. And he's always trying to do a balance. You know, I remember once he said, "We're white people like you," meaning white Christians, and we're part of the Christian civilization because at one time they were Catholic. And he says. And they, you know what they say to him? No, you're not part of us. They treat him like he's not part, or never was part, of Christian civilization. And that's, it's like a prejudice thing against the Russians. And they're trying to be accepted. That's why you see them going to England a lot, and they're very reputable and respectful people. They want, and they don't accept it. They have a hard time accepting the Russian people. And so it's a struggle they got going over there. He's got. Oh, the other thing I wanted to talk to him on, Mr. Vladimir Putin, President Putin. Another thing you're really wrong on. The station's always talking about colonialism.
Yeah.
Look at the colonialism of the West and Europe and how they colonized these poor Africans. And that's bullshit. And that's political too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's my point on that. A lot of that colonialism was to evangelize them, to make them Christians. And even when England did it, even though they're Anglican, it's not true Christianity because it's nominal Christianity, just like his nominal. But they would at least go in there and try to make them nominal Christians. They did civilize Africa. I don't care what you say about other things the English did or the Dutch did or the Portuguese did or the Spanish did. They civilized people. And when we had the conquistadors go over, and we had the people going to the United States of Americas, we convert them to Catholicism. So colonialization is not an evil thing. It all depends on what you're doing. It's not intrinsically evil. Are you going to colonize these people because you really love them and you care for them? First for their souls, even if you're a nominal Christian, and then for their physical well-being? Well, that's a lot what was going on in colonialization. Yeah, you had some Jews getting their Freemasons, took advantage of them later on. We don't agree with that. But the whole principle of colonialization is good when you're going into a pagan country and God uses it to punish the pagans. Point number two. His own Russia's colonialized.
Yeah.
Take a look at Russia, how big it is. You know, it's the biggest continent. It's the biggest in the whole world. He's got sections of that were once Muslim all sectored off under Russia.
For example, some of Russia's federal constituent entities are Atari territory, Amur region, the Arkhangelsk region, the Astrakhan region, Belogorod region, Bransk region, Chechen Republic, and the Chebolansky region.
He controls all those countries. That's why he's supporting the Muslims too, because he's a lot of Muslim areas that are in Russia.
Mm, yeah.
But they weren't always Russia.
No.
He took them over. They took over, take a look at the Russian map. He took over all these Muslim nations and incorporated into Russia. So stop talking about colonialism. The Muslims could also say to you, you colonized us. You took over like five or six different Muslim areas, provinces, nations, and incorporated into provinces and part of Russia. Take a look at it. Stop doing it. Stop doing that. Because I know one thing, too, like when they come to the Chinese, they try to use that a little bit, too. But the Chinese, they don't take no crap, you know. When they come into Africa, they want to make them better. And they do care about the people, too. But they try to raise them up. They'll boss them around and they'll straighten them out. The Chinese really do want to civilize the Africans.
Yeah.
I think Russia would do the same thing if they had. They're doing it in Russia, in the Muslim areas.
They even have Russian Mongolians.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. If the Russians, if the Muslims in those Russian areas got out of line really bad for civil disorder, Putin's going to go in there and shut them down because he controls it. He's allowed them to protect the religious liberty. We would do. We're not going to take away people. We're not going to force people to be Catholic, even in a Catholic state. But you got to isolate them, and you got to make sure that they're not breaking the laws for the common good. And he would even do that if he came into Africa himself. and he controlled the African nations. He would want it to be to the benefit of the Africans for himself. Now, one thing about the Western colonialization, where they are correct, is the Jews and Freemasons are bastards. They did go into these countries and soak the people. They stole their money. They give them vaccines to sterilize them. They do all kinds of bad. That's true. That's, I agree with. That's wrong. And that's very bad. That came in with the apostate Jews and the Freemasons. But if you go back to original colonialization, back earlier, 1500, 1600, even earlier than that, when it was going on and talking about Africa, really, it was for a good intention. They wanted to go in there, civilize the barbarian people, and bring them under yoke Christianity or nominal Christianity. So don't condemn all colonialism. That's another point of advice I would give him.
Cannibals in Africa. Yeah.
They're eating people. You know what I mean? They're eating people. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Fried human legs.
All day. There's a real good, I haven't watched the whole thing, there's a documentary about this Chinese man in Africa. I think it's called Empire of Dust or something. I've seen clips of it, but he's running this company in Africa and they're building an interstate or something. And he's bossing these Africans.
I saw it too.
And he's real.
I saw it. I like it. Yeah, I saw it. I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I wanted to bring it in.
Yeah.
Because he's strict with the Africans, but he's straightening them out.
Yeah.
He's got them working. He's got them producing. And he'll break your ass. You don't do it. He'll hit you with a stick. You do that, you get out of here. Yeah. But he's straightening them out.
Trying to build a road.
Yeah. Yeah. So they really do care about the people, but they care about them being civilized. They care about them being productive and non-sinful. And the Chinese are like that.
Yeah.
They do want to lift you up, but they're strict, okay? That's a good kind of colonialization.
Yeah.
Now, another very important point I got to bring up and counsel Putin about is he uses this technique to cause civil disorder in the United States. I don't care if he did it in a justified manner, but he appeals to black radicals, gangsters, and criminals, and he makes them look like the victims, and he makes the cops look like the bad guys, when we see in this country that the crime that these black radicals are committing, they're burning places, they're stealing from people, they deserve to get their butts kicked. But he appeals to them, and he's saying, look what the Americans are doing to you. Look what the United States white guys that founded this country are doing to you poor blacks. They're oppressing you. But he's using that technique. First of all, if he was a true Christian, can never use that technique because they're black radicals and criminals and they deserve it. He's lying. The policemen deserve to beat the crap out of them. They should be beaten even more the way they're burning down buildings and they're robbing. But he's placating to them so he can get them on his side so they can rebel against the United States and cause civil disorder. A true Christian can never use that technique, Putin, so don't use that technique. And I'm going to tell you, when you do come to power, and you are going to come to power, I believe God's going to allow you to take over Europe and South America, are you going to allow these black radicals and gangsters in your own cities to do what they're doing in the United States? Would you allow that? I know he wouldn't. The Chinese are more honest about this. When they go into African stuff, they try to, civilize the radical blacks. They don't placate. But he's trying to placate the radical blacks to cause civil unrest in the United States. And it's going to backfire on him. And he's being untruthful, and it's not even a thing a true Christian could do. Untruthful because he wouldn't support them neither. So stop trying to make that divide and using black gangsters and radicals as your allies to cause disorder. Now, I'm going to tell you who you should choose. And I think he's starting to do this. The people you want to appeal to in this country are social conservatives who really care about social conservative values. You know, especially, now I know he allows abortions in Russia, but I hear he's trying to, like, discourage them. So he's still wrong because he allows abortions, but he's trying to discourage them, and so he's not right about that. But one thing he's right about is he's against the LGBT communities, their public propagation of their filth, their perversion of their children, and the wokeness of the West. He's against all of the West's insanity and gross immoralities. This clip is titled, Putin Condemns the West's Insanity, Gross Immorality, and Hypocrisy.
Но они также не могут не отдавать себе отчет в том, что победить Россию на поле боя невозможно. Поэтому ведут против нас все более агрессивные информационные атаки. Целью выбирают, прежде всего, конечно, молодых людей, молодые поколения. И здесь опять лгут постоянно, извращают исторические факты, не прекращают нападки на нашу культуру, на русскую православную церковь, другие традиционные религиозные организации нашей страны. Посмотрите, что они делают со своими собственными народами. Разрушение семьи. извращение, издевательство над детьми вплоть до педофилии объявляются нормой. Священнослужители, священников принуждают благословлять однополые браки. Хочется им сказать, но посмотрите, извините меня, священные писания, главные книги всех других мировых религий. Там все сказано, в том числе то, что семья – это союз мужчины и женщины. Но и эти священные тексты подвергаются сейчас сомнению. Он и людей на Западе понимают, что их ведут к настоящей духовной катастрофе. Элиты, ну, прямо надо сказать, просто сходят с ума, и это, похоже, уже не лечится. Но это их проблемы, как я уже сказал. А мы обязаны защититься. И мы сделаем это. Защитим наших детей от деградации и вырождения. Разве мы хотим, чтобы в наших школах с начальных классов детям навязывали извращения, которые ведут к деградации и вымиранию? Чтобы им вдалбливали, что кроме женщины и мужчины, якобы существуют еще некие гендеры. И предлагали сделать операцию по смене пола. Но разве мы все этого хотим для своей страны и для своих детей? Для нас все это неприемлемо. У нас другое, свое будущее. Повторю, диктатура западных элит направлена против такое полное отрицание человека, неспровержение веры и традиционных ценностей. Подавление свободы приобретает черты религии наоборот, откровенного сатанизма.
Еще один серьезный вызов российской идентичности связан с событиями, которые происходят в мире. Здесь есть и внешнеполитические, и моральные аспекты. Мы видим, как многие евроатлантические страны фактически пошли по пути отказа от своих корней, в том числе и от христианских ценностей, составляющих основу западной цивилизации. Отрицаются нравственные начала и любая традиционная идентичность – национальная, культурная, религиозная или даже половая. Проводится политика, ставящая на один уровень многодетную семью и однополое партнерство – веру в Бога или веру в сатану. Эксцессы политкорректности доходят до того, что всерьез говорится о регистрации партий, ставящих своей целью пропаганду педофилии. Люди во многих европейских странах стыдятся и боятся говорить о своей религиозной принадлежности. Праздники отменяют их. Или называют их как-то по-другому, стыдливо прячут саму суть этого праздника, нравственную основу этих праздников. И эту модель пытаются агрессивно навязывать всем, всему миру. Убежден, это прямой путь к деградации и примеритизации, глубокому демографическому и нравственному кризису. Что еще может быть большим свидетельством морального кризиса человеческого социума, как не утрата способности к самовоспроизводству? А сегодня практически все развитые страны уже не могут воспроизводить себя, причем даже с помощью миграции. Без ценностей, заложенных в христианстве и других мировых религиях, без формировавшихся тысячелетиями норм морали и нравственности, люди неизбежно утратят человеческое достоинство. И мы считаем естественным и правильным эти ценности отстаивать. Нужно уважать право любого меньшинства на отличие, но и право большинства. Право большинства не должно быть поставлено под сомнение. Одновременно мы видим попытки тем или иным способом реанимировать однополярную унифицированную модель мира, размыть институт международного права и национального суверенитета. Такому однополярному, унифицированному миру не нужны суверенные государства. Ему нужны вассалы. В историческом смысле это отказ от своего лица, от данного Богом природы многообразия мира. Россия с теми, кто считает, что ключевые решения должны вырабатываться на коллективной основе, а не по усмотрению и в интересах отдельных государств или либо группы.
He's correct about that. Okay, so now he just recently invited, which is a good thing he did. He said, anybody who wants to live according to the natural law and the social values, I'm inviting you to come to Russia and we will let you live in Russia.
I'm quoting from an article from TASS, a Russian news agency, and it's titled, Russia offers safe haven for people trying to escape Western liberal ideals. I'm only going to read the first paragraph here, but you can see the whole article right here. You can pause the video and read the whole thing if you want. This is from August 19, 2024. Moscow will provide assistance to any foreigners who want to escape the neoliberal ideas being put forward in their countries and move to Russia, where traditional values reign supreme, according to a decree signed by President Vladimir Putin.
That's good. Those are the people you want to appeal to. Those are the people, I'm talking to the people to the United States now. Stop sis boom bah USA bullcrap. It ain't going to happen. This USA is going down. It deserves to die from day one. It's really bad now. If you think that this country's good, then you shouldn't even be listening to me. But if you really want to have some social conservative values on the natural law, support Putin. You should want him to come to power. You should want him or China to come and take over this country and clean it up a little bit. They may not clean it up 100%, but they're going to clean it up a lot more than it is now. You should be praying for them. You should be inviting them to come into the United States like I do. I know they're coming here for other reasons, and we're going to have to convert a lot of them too. They're a lot better than your country is now and your politicians in the United States. That's who Putin should appeal to. That's where your civil war is going to come from. You're going to have a civil war in this country. You are. Social conservatives against the extreme lefty liberals. The Marxist communists. You're going to have a civil war. So, Putin, don't support the radical blacks anymore because they fall into the camp of the lefty liberals, the lawless people, the Antifa people. Support the social conservatives. I know some of them are blinded patriotic idiots that want USA patriotism. They're idiots. I'm trying to warn them that this country was set up to be liberal in the end anyway. What you're looking at is what this country was planned to be. It's a cesspool of iniquity, and it's not going to deliver you. That's the people who should appeal to Putin. You know, when they do it in the Ukraine, and the United States gets involved in other countries, where do they go? They go to people who sympathize with their causes to create coups and overthrow governments. If Putin wants to over this government, I hope he doesn't. They're going to come here. They're going to take over this place. Here's the way you do it. You work with social conservatives. So if ever there was this kind of a rebellion, you could give them weapons. They would get their weapons from Russia and China to fight the war against the United States and its own politicians, its own government. That's the only hope you're going to have. Who are you going to go to? Well, in the United States, you see, it's all liberalized. Everything's taken away already. Your religious liberty's gone to a walk. All kinds of corruption and immorality. Who are you going to go to for help in the United States? When they come in and start, they're doing it already. In the West, not just the United States, in the West, they're locking you up if you don't use pronouns and transgenders and you don't support homos. Who are you going to go to for help? Who? Madagascar? You're going to go to New Zealand? Russia and China. And they will be there to help you. They will supply you with weapons or whatever you need to overthrow this satanic, Freemasonic Western civilization that's been corrupted to the highest degree. That's what you should be hoping for. And that's who Putin should be appealing to 100%.
As a special note, Russia and China does not need anybody in the United States to help them. They don't need the social conservatives to help them. They're just going to come and take over. I'm warning the social conservatives that if you submit to the Russians and the Chinese, they may spare your life, and if you do it, they will spare your life. If not, you're going down also. So they don't really even need you. But your only hope for some type of sanity and morality is to pray for them to enter here, to support them, and do not oppose them. In the same way the prophet Jeremiah told the Jews that they had to submit to the Babylonian yoke, because God was punishing them for their sins. And many people called the holy prophet Jeremiah a traitor because for what he did. But he was obeying God's will. And God saw how evil Israel was at that time, the southern kingdom of Judah. And he had the king of Babylon come on and destroy it. And Jeremiah said, if you submit to the king of Babylon, he will spare you. If not, he will kill you. It's God's will to submit. It's God's will to submit to the Russian and Chinese when they come in here. And if you don't, you're dead. If you do, they may spare you, and probably they will. This is a clip from the movie Jeremiah by the TNT's Bible Collection.
Thus saith the Lord, I will give this city into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall take it. And the Babylonians shall set fire to this place, for the children of Israel have turned unto me their back.
Thank you. This man must die.
No! He is a prophet, my lord.
He is a traitor, my lord. Traitors die.
Is there nothing else to talk about other than this prophet? What about the defense of Jerusalem?
This concerns the defense of our city, Lord King. He depresses the soldiers left within the city walls more desert every night.
There was a time when I valued your counsel, General Shaphan.
I know, my lord. Who will you choose to hold off the Babylonians who threaten our city from without? Discontent amongst our people from within. Do not give the people any cause to act foolishly, my lord.
And I will gather them out of all the countries whither I have driven them in mine anger. And I will bring them again into this place. And I will cause them to dwell safe.
Boy. Make way! Make way!
Move aside!
You, come with me.
And I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And they shall be my people.
No!
Behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself and to all thy friends, and they shall die by the sword of their enemies, and thine eyes shall behold that. Oh. God has promised that you shall keep your life if you go out to the Babylonians. It is not treason to follow the will of God. It is sin not to obey your God now. Anyone else found attempting to surrender will be killed.
Stay away from trying to create a civil war. Black radicals, gangsters, and criminals, that ain't going to work. They fall into the liberal camp, the lawless and disorder camp, and the Antifa camp. You don't want to be supporting them. Stop it. But he's more and more now, and he is, and I think he sees this. He's supporting social conservatives. Guys like Tucker Carlson are going over there. The guy in Hungary, Orban, he's like that. These are the people that are going to unite around Russia and China. So stop with the black radical stuff. Get rid of them. They are gangsters. You wouldn't support them neither. Stay on the social conservative thing. And I'm working on this side to get these people un-Americanized with their USA idolization in this rotten-ass country. This country's so bad, anybody can't see it. They've got to be blind to the highest degree. And you're still saying sis, boom, bah. And I'm going to tell you, this country was created to come to where it is today and to bring the harlot, the Antichrist, to power in Israel. And that's another thing Russia, Putin really does. He opposes the one-state solution that Israel needs to bring Antichrist to power. So he's good on that point, too. So this is one very important thing I'd like to counsel Putin on. And Chinese are already pretty good on this. But Putin, too much on RT as you get into this thing about the black radicals, gangsters. Don't support them. Don't be going against our cops when it comes to them trying to bring law and order to the cities. Because you would do the same, okay? Stick to the issue. The people that are going to fight, look, some of these U.S. people, they can't imagine following you right now, but some do. Believe me, I'm hearing it. There are quite a few people saying, Putin's saying, he's the guy we need, he's the guy we want, even in this country. I'm just appealing to the fanatical USA people, patriots, you know, they want Russia, China coming. It's either Russia or China, or you're going to have what you have, and it's going to get even worse, and it's never going to get better. So that's your only hope. I mean, we're really your only hope, because we're the grace of God. We're preaching, we're going to have the true God that's going to make this happen. God's the one who's going to, our God, the Catholic God's going to send Putin here and the Chinese, and we're going to convert a lot of them. Us, few people, are going to start converting them by God's miracles. like with the Babylon, when they came in and they took over Israel, and he converted a lot of the Babylonians. Nebuchadnezzar himself converted before he died to the true faith. So in other words, get rid of your USA sysbomb-bomb bullshit. And you notice what's happening to your very own Republican Party that was supposed to be conservative? Can you see what's happening? They fully embraced the LGBT community. They fully embraced transgenderism. They fully embraced same-sex marriages and civil unions. That's your Republican Party. Where are you going to go? It's over. It's done. Forget about the politics in this country. As I wrote in one of my articles, do not fight against Russia. I'm not asking you to fight for them, but don't fight against them. And don't fight against the Chinese. In fact, you should open your doors and welcome them when they come in here. And say, what took you so long? I'm glad you finally showed up. And that's what I'm going to say when they come in here. You don't like what I'm saying? Tough. You ain't going to be able to touch me. You try to do it, and you're not going to do it until my time comes to die. And that's not for quite a while. Maybe about 6 years or 7 years, I don't know. When the Antichrist comes to power, and then we're going to have a battle with him. But that's what you should be doing, all right? Give up on the United States of America. Stop with your islandization in this country. I suggest you look at what Putin says about the West and its gross immoralities and its insanity. So these are things, you know, it's amazing why I'm doing it. Maybe I've been wanting to do this for a long time, and I got so much on my platter. So it's one of those things, like it's number 10 on my queue of things to do. So now it's back up to number one. I've been wanting to say this for a long time.
To that point about breaking people's ass with sticks, these customers that come by for the pizzas, well, there's a little bit of a parking problem. The restaurant made a little parking signs for people so they go over here,
yeah,
and not right in front of the restaurant, block traffic. Well, Scott, the little maintenance guy, he'd come out and tell people when they park.
Don't do it.
And I try to do it when I'm busy. You know?
Yeah.
And, oh, you don't tell these people where to go, what to do. I can park where I want. That's American.
Yeah.
You know.
They can park where they want. They can do what they want. There's no rules.
Exactly.
You said there was that old lady that saw the sign.
There's no rules.
A whole 6 foot long wide banner saying, you know, don't park here.
And that's just
for parking. Drove around it.
So they don't get.
Oh, it's a small thing.
Yeah.
So imagine the bigger things. The other thing I want to get is back to Putin again and the Jew issue. The original oligarchs that were really corrupt in Russia, that he kicked out, that weren't listening to him, and they were really wrecking Russia big time, and they let the West come in and all that. Well, those he kicked out. The other ones that stayed, they had to cave in and do what he tells them. We're going to kick them out. Where do they go when he kicks them out? Israel, London, or the United States? Mostly, and they all have a dual citizenship with Israel. So, like that guy Borozovsky, whatever his name was. So, when he kicked them out and they went to Israel or London or the United States, they were dead set on getting him out of power. You don't mess with the Jew in any way, because he'll never forget. And he dealt a pretty lethal blow to them when he kicked them out, and then he put them under his yoke. And they'll never forgive him for that. And that's why the Ukrainian war was supported by, what's his name, Berezhansky, whatever his name is.
Yeah.
But, and these Jews are now supporting the Ukraine war. That's their way of getting back at Putin.
Yeah.
That's their way of trying to throw him out of power. And if they can't conquer Russia, maybe create a coup where the Russian people become unsatisfied with him and throw him out. And the reason that his people are staying faithful, he got rid of all the NGOs and all the Western organizations that are in there that were corrupting people by handing out pamphlets and causing protests. He kicked them all out.
This clip is the introduction to part one and part two of the rise and fall of the Russian oligarchs. It was broadcast on Human Edge. This documentary by Alexander Gentilev shows how oligarch Jews came to power in Russia under Mikhail Gorbachev and Boris Yeltsin, and how Vladimir Putin suppressed them. The video can be accessed on the www.johnthebaptist.us website and the Russian political page.
Hello, welcome to Human Edge. I'm Ian Brown. The 1990s featured one of the most gripping shows in history, the implosion of the empire that had been known as the Soviet Union. Not only did one of the world's two superpowers collapse, its economic system, the global mothership of state-controlled communism, collapsed with it. It was the beginning of what came to be known as the Wild Wild East. From the same people that nurtured the most powerful communist state in history, there now rose a pack of ravenous, winner-take-all capitalists who invented the rules and themselves as they went. They were known as the Russian oligarchs. Tonight, in part one of Alexander Gentilev's brilliant documentary, The Rise and Fall of the Russian Oligarchs, you're going to meet them. This is capitalism at its rudest and purest, survival as it's played when the stakes are real. As the Soviet Union fell apart, the oligarchs stepped in to pick up the pieces. Within 4 years, a massively wealthy country that had been entirely state-owned was three-quarters privately held. Assets worth $20 billion were being stolen for a fraction of their value. The more the oligarchs controlled, the more control they wanted. Eventually, they tried for the government. And next week, we'll learn how that was their undoing. But the ride up, breathtaking. Hello, welcome to Human Edge. I'm Ian Brown. If you're like me, you watched the collapse of the Soviet Union in the 1990s with endless morbid fascination. After ruling half the world for 75 years, one of the world's two great superpowers, not to mention the global poster boy for state communism, collapsed in pieces. National chaos ensued, controlled by a band of nervy upstart capitalists, 100 people who controlled everything, who quickly came to be known as the oligarchs. Last week on Human Edge, in part one of Alexander Gentilev's excellent documentary, The Rise and Fall of the Russian Oligarchs, we met some of them. We saw how the ailing Russian state had no choice but to ask them to take over the former state-run industries, then the banks, then the media, and then the government itself. They became the new czars. But for all their machinations, the oligarchs couldn't overcome the desire of the Russian people for strong central authority. Well, that's tonight's story in part two. It's also a brilliant capsule history of the real ins and outs of Russian politics, which have been pretty complicated over the past 15 turbulent years. All the big players are here on camera, including Vladimir Putin, the current president and former KGB colonel, who ruthlessly used the oligarchs and their assets to just crush them. I'm telling you, Tolstoy couldn't have written this any better.
Go ahead.
Well, the Jews did the same thing to Hitler in World War II.
Oh, yeah.
With Poland and how
that yes, they did.
Germany, right. German people, and then they went in there.
Yeah. Where's that good one? We look at the guy that we have a good one about the history of how they provoked Hitler. Mm-hmm. And then another thing, they say, oh, Putin wants to take over the world.
Yeah.
Well, maybe now he's going to take over Europe, at least for a while, to contain your asses, you know. Hitler wants to take over the world. Never wanted to take over the world. He wanted to just free that part of Germany that he belonged to and that was taken away in World War I, and that's all. He wanted parts of Germany that were Germany given back to him.
Right.
He didn't want to take the world over. When he came in and took France, 70% of the French people welcomed him.
Right. Yeah.
And he never came in to take over the French people and run to France. Well, so it's a big lie. Oh, he wants to take over the world. Putin's going to take over the world. The Iranians are going to take over the world. Yeah.
I was going to say, with Hitler and that, the reason why he went in there, they were slaughtering the Germans that were in that.
Yes.
Polish,
yeah, they were poking them.
55,000 yeah. Germans. Yeah. They were slaughtering them.
You never hear that's the real history. They were poking them.
Exactly. And that's what they did in Ukraine.
That's why he went in there.
See my Hitler's Germany politics page and go to World War II, Who Was Responsible Really? By Alfar Geyer and see Winston Churchill's warmongering response.
You look at Hitler's statements, he's like the Lavrov, what he's saying today. Yeah. Lavrov says, you're provoking us.
Yeah.
Hitler says that in all his speeches. He says, I don't want to fight with you. Went out of his way to tell the English politicians, I don't want to fight the English people. We're the same people. We should be fighting one another for the Jews and Freemasons. He tried everything. He had Hess, was it Hess?
Yeah, Hess.
Land over there, and they parachuted him out of the plane.
Right. Yeah.
And he landed in London or England to bargain. They threw him in jail.
Yeah. Yeah.
And left him in jail even after the war, never let him out.
Yeah. Wow.
He went over there to say, look, Hitler, stop it.
Yeah.
And they won't listen.
Yeah. No.
So if they portray them, if the very Jew that wants to dominate the world with their Antichrist paints their enemies the way they are.
Western countries almost universally now believe that there's a new Cold War and that you frankly have decided to create that. We see almost daily Russian aircraft taking sometimes quite dangerous maneuvers towards Western airspace. That must be done on your orders. You're the commander-in-chief. It must have been your orders that sent Russian troops into the territory of a sovereign country. Crimea first, and then whatever it is that's going on in eastern Ukraine. Now you've got a big problem with the currency of Russia, and you're going to need help and support and understanding from outside countries, particularly from the West. So can I say to you, can I ask you now, would you care to take this opportunity to say to people from the West that you have no desire to carry on with a new Cold War and that you will do whatever you can to sort out the problems in Ukraine? Thank you.
Вам спасибо большое за вопрос. По поводу наших учений, маневров, развития вооруженных сил. И вы сказали, что Россия в известной степени внесла свой вклад в ту напряженность, которую мы сейчас наблюдаем в мире. Россия внесла свой вклад, но только в том смысле, что она все жестче и жестче защищает свои национальные интересы. Мы не атакуем, ну, в политическом смысле этого слова, мы ни на кого не нападаем. Мы только защищаем свои интересы. И недовольство наших западных партнеров, прежде всего американских, связано с тем, что мы делаем именно это, а не с тем, что мы в сфере безопасности допускаем какие-то действия, которые провоцируют напряженность. И я поясню. Вот вы говорите о полетах нашей авиации, в том числе о полетах стратегической авиации. Знаете ли вы, что Россия в начале 90-х годов полностью прекратила, как это делал Советский Союз, полеты нашей стратегической авиации в отдаленных районах патрулирования? Мы полностью прекратили. А американские самолеты стратегические с ядерным оружием продолжали летать. Зачем? Против кого? Кому угрожали? И мы не летали и не летали, не летали и не летали из года в год. И вот только пару лет, тройку назад, возобновили эти полеты. Так кто провоцирует? Мы, что ли? Значит, у нас две базы практически только за границей. И то на террористически опасных направлениях. В Киргизии, после того, как туда зашли боевики из Афганистана, по просьбе киргизских властей, тогда Акаева президента. И в Таджикистане, тоже на границе с Афганистаном. Думаю, что и вы заинтересованы в том, чтобы там было все спокойно. И это обосновано, понятно и ясно. Американские базы по всему земному шару. И вы хотите сказать, что мы ведем себя агрессивно? Ну, здравый смысл-то есть или нет? В Европе что делают американские вооруженные силы, в том числе тактическое ядерное оружие? Чего там делают? Слушайте, у нас бюджет Министерства обороны на следующий год, он вырос. Но он в долларовом эквиваленте где-то, ну, чтобы мне не ошибиться, 50 миллиардов примерно. А бюджет Пентагона почти в 10 раз больше. 575 миллиардов, по-моему, утвердил Конгресс недавно. И вы хотите сказать, что мы проводим агрессивную политику? Ну, здравый смысл-то есть или нет? Мы, что ли, свои вооруженные силы выдвигаем к границам Соединенных Штатов либо других государств? Базы кто двигает к нам НАТО? Военную инфраструктуру? Не мы. Нас кто-нибудь слушает? Хоть какой-то диалог с нами по этому поводу ведут? Нет вообще никакого. Всегда в ответ только одно. Не ваше дело. Каждая страна имеет право выбирать свой способ обеспечения безопасности. Да, хорошо. Но тогда и мы тоже будем это делать. Почему нам это запрещено? Ну и, наконец, я уже говорил об этом в послании, систему противоракетной обороны. Кто вышел в одностороннем порядке из договора, который, безусловно, являлся одним из краеугольных камней всей системы международной безопасности? Мы, что ли? Нет. Это сделали Штаты. В одностороннем порядке вышли. Создают угрозы для нас. Разворачивают эти элементы стратегической ПРО не только на Аляске, но и в Европе, и в Румынии, и в Польше, прямо возле нас. И вы хотите сказать, что мы проводим агрессивную политику? Вопрос, хотим ли мы равноправных отношений? Да, хотим. Но при безусловном уважении наших национальных интересов. И в сфере безопасности, и в сфере экономики. Мы 19 или сколько там лет вели переговоры по присоединению к ВТО. Пошли на очень многие компромиссы. И всегда исходили из того, что эти договоренности являются железобетонными. Потом, сейчас не буду говорить, кто прав, кто виноват. Я считаю, что мы правы в ходе украинского кризиса. Я уже об этом говорил много раз. Я считаю, что наши партнеры Запада не правы. Но сейчас оставим это. Но мы вошли, присоединились к ВТО. Там есть правила. В нарушение всех этих правил и в нарушение норм международного права и устава Организации Объединенных Наций в отношении российской экономики введены санкции. В одностороннем порядке, абсолютно неправовым способом. Мы не правы опять. Мы хотим развивать нормальные отношения и в сфере безопасности, в борьбе с терроризмом. Мы будем работать вместе по нераспространению ядерного оружия. Мы будем вместе работать над такими угрозами, как распространение наркотиков, организованной преступности, распространение инфекционных заболеваний тяжелых, в том числе Эбола. Мы будем это все вместе делать. В том числе будем работать и в экономической сфере, если этого хотят наши партнеры.
And then, like in the Donbass region, all the Russian supporting people that were in Ukraine, they get all persecuted by
the Ukrainians, right? And they're Russians, right. And it used to be part of Russia.
Yeah.
But the whole point, where's the hypocrisy on all of that too? The United States goes, oh, look what he's, look what we're going to put some missiles right on the borderline of Russia. You know, Russia doesn't have no missiles on our borderline. They came to Cuba once, and it didn't stay too long. But if Russia started moving missiles into Mexico and turned it into, what do you think the United States is going to be happy with that? Why do you think he should accept you doing that to him? Why? And you lied to him. You said you weren't going to encroach his neighborhood on his thing you have encroached, the land you weren't supposed to take. Now you're trying to make Ukraine part of NATO, when that was a verboten.
And NATO was set up by the Jews after World War II.
Well, they said, like, during Clinton's, after the wall went down in Germany, they weren't going to go past Germany for NATO, and then they expanded, and they had an agreement there. Yeah. They said, you know, okay, you're not going to come any, no, we're not going to come.
And they did.
And they violated that.
The Oslo Accords.
No, that was
something with the Jew thing. Yeah.
That was with Clinton, Warren Christopher. He tried to, they said, well, no. They said, "Are you going to go past Germany when you for NATO expand NATO?" And they said, "No, we won't." But then after that, they did. Yeah, Bush expanded.
They twist stuff, and that was the documentary watching with Bruce about Iran. And these guys, they go in and they try to film this protest that was going on. These liberal Iranians are supporting this some political liberal guy who's going against the Shah or whatever they call him.
That's the NGOs.
They're out on the street. Iran, they had an event get shut down by the government, run by the Muslims, and then they send the police out to disperse everybody. And the guy's filming in there,
making them look like monsters.
And like, oh, they're coming, they're oppressing. Yeah. And then they tell them to stop filming. It's funny. The police get right in their face. They stop filming, and they won't stop filming. It's okay.
Why are they heathenish protesters with sticks? Because they're supporting faggots.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And feminists.
Yeah.
They always show you the guy, you know, always say, like, if someone punches you in the face and they don't catch it on TV, and then you punch him back in the face and they catch that on TV,
you're the bad guy.
Yeah. You're the bad guy!
Yeah.
I told you this story, maybe you guys didn't, all you guys didn't hear it, but when I was an optician, some lady got stabbed and she came into my office and she's bleeding on the car. I said, she's bleeding on the carpet.
Yeah.
No? You don't come in here and bleed on my carpet. She go, I'm stabbed! This woman stabbed me in the middle of the street. Go help, help. I said, first of all, get outside. Here, put this on here. I'll call the cops. I don't know what happened.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
So I'm not taking sides.
Yeah.
All right?
Right.
So she looks back. She stabbed. The woman stabbed her. Turns out that the woman who stabbed her, she went into that woman's house and stabbed her baby.
Oh, man.
Wow. I knew the police report. Yeah. So that's why she did it. When she was in their house, they had a fight. She stabbed her baby. So that woman ran out, caught her on the street, and stabbed her.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
You always got to look at two sides to the story.
Yeah.
People look at some...
There's a movie, right? We watched
The
Mob movie.
That was a good one. Yeah. The Witness to the Mob?
Witness to the Mob.
Yeah.
That was good.
He says he wanted the one young kid. He's training him up. And he says, I want you to come in here and listen to this one guy. And the guy's giving his side of the story. And he goes, that guy, he sounds right. He'll say, I'm going to let the other guy come in now. The other guy comes in and gives his side of the story. He goes, oh, I'm not sure now. So you always got to get the two sides to the story.
Yeah.
Tato would be calling me in every day with one thing or another. He had me sit on the sidelines and watch him operate. He was schooling me for the life.
Excuse me, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, Sammy, stay. Sit.
Thanks. Anything you can do, Tato, you gotta help me with this situation. I got a lot of money laid out.
I listened to this guy bitching about this, about that, about money that was owed him.
I'll do anything.
Afterwards, Tato asked me what I thought we should do. I said, find the other guy, bust him up, break his legs. Then Tato called in the other guy. He had a totally different version of things.
So what do you think now, Sammy?
I guess I'd have to check it out further. This guy seems like he was the one telling the truth.
But yesterday you believed the other guy.
Yeah.
Good. Everyone has a story to tell. But you should always take the trouble to hear both sides. And usually the truth lies somewhere in between. But if you go off half-cocked and you make a decision without hearing both sides, you won't last long. It'll be your downfall.
Back talking about the mob guys, even, I was thinking this the other day. I'm so angry at these traditional, so-called Catholics, Gary Potter and all these people, the guys you're dealing with, yeah. Right now. Yeah. Right now. Yeah. I said it, and I'll say it again.
Yeah.
They're gangsters, Will.
Yeah.
They're gangsters. What they did to you when they got rid of you, that's a mafia gangster. Mafia's better than that. They will. Mafia will tell you why they're doing it.
Yeah.
Hey, well, here's why we're doing it. We got rules, you're broken. Here's the rule you broke.
Yeah.
You took the oath, I'm going to blow their brains out. You know why it's going to happen, right? I'm serious. These guys are worse than mafia people. They got the worst mentality. They lie worse. They're in positions of power, so they look like they're keeping the law, and they're not keeping the law.
Yeah.
They're breaking the law in a thousand different ways by sins of omission and commission. And look what they did to you, and look what they're doing to you when you're right to them.
Yeah.
Is that not gangsterism?
I know.
The Godfather kind of... We get a glimpse of it kind of in The Godfather.
We got to send The Godfather after these people.
Yeah.
Not all the Godfathers were bad. I grew up with them. There's two kinds of mafia guys. I used to call them the Republican mafia guys and the Democrats. The Republican ones didn't like drugs. They liked gambling and stuff like that. But they didn't like drugs. So there was two different kinds of mafia guys. They cared about their neighborhood. They kept it peaceful. The cops knew that they can only do so much. Because they were restrained. So something that a cop couldn't do, you go to the mafia guy. He'll take care of it and give you justice.
Yeah.
But I was just thinking about this to people we're dealing with now, the Rebecca Dowells, the Yvette Hurls, the Crystal Diamonds, the Steve Pierces, all these holy-looking, pious people are worse than mafia.
Yeah.
They lie worse than mafia. They break their oaths. They have no credibility or hypocrites to the highest degree.
Mm-hmm. No.
And who did they learn it from? And who's been controlling them?
Freemasons and the apostate church.
Has there been any campaign more successful than making Hitler the enemy of the entire world?
No, that was the number one campaign, Hitler. Mm-hmm. And why did they? You got to sit back and look at it. You know, you got to think people should be sick and tired of hearing about Hitler. You know what I mean?
I know.
Wasn't there anything else happening in the whole world, in the history of the world? You got to keep talking about him. He's dead.
Yeah.
That's why I always love to use that one.
That's why I think a lot of these millennials,
they're dead.
Because like Nick says, that a lot of these younger people, I'm sick of hearing, tired of, shut up with this.
But with the Hitler thing
and the Holocaust.
Now you're going to get me to start liking the guy. I'm getting, this is too much.
Yeah.
Like, everything's on him.
Yeah.
That's what I always say, like... If ever I hope somebody converted on their deathbed, he's presumed in Guyana. But if anybody I really hope converted on his bed, he would be one of them.
No.
But it's not even normal. Even the guy Yoav Shamir showed it. He said, I wake up every morning in Israel, and what do I look at in the paper? Nazi, Hitler, Holocaust, anti-Semitism. He's got all these papers on his spread out. Hitler, Nazi, anti-Semitism, Holocaust.
This clip is from a documentary titled Defamation by Yoav Shamir from 2009.
Being an Israeli Jew, I have never experienced anti-Semitism myself, but it's a phrase that always seems to be in the air. Three words seem to appear over and over again. Holocaust, Nazi, anti-Semitism. Living in a country that was founded to give the Jewish people a safe place to live in, I found this really disturbing. So I decided I wanted to learn more about the subject.
Hitler, anti-Semitism, Holocaust. Like every day you're waking up in Israel, you're having your breakfast and you're reading this every day.
Well, that's why they're pumping it. So they said a lot of these millennials are indifferent towards it.
No, like that's what happened.
And then the Jews are getting nervous because they want to try to let these kids get out of
here. Well, you noticed the Yoav Shamir thing showed that. Remember when he's trying to indoctrinate the kids in the beginning with the Holocaust crap?
Yeah.
And one kid says, I don't feel nothing. Because he said, we're going to go find out the atrocities that happened to our forefathers in the Holocaust when they killed. And he says, we should all like really grieve and mourn for him. And the one kid goes, he goes, I don't know, but I don't feel anything.
Yeah.
I feel guilty sometimes, but I don't feel anything.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes maybe I should feel something. Well, don't. And they're all like that. They're like, one girl's eating her Cheetos.
Yeah.
Okay, well, close enough. But when they brought him through, when they brought him to the mill. They got him. And you got to watch my thing on that, because Spiracies of Juice Part 2 near the end, you know, I highly recommend it. I highly recommend Richard Iberani's Conspiracies of Juice. Who's recommending it? Because me, Richard Iberani. No one else will recommend it, so I'll recommend it. But it was funny because it was sad. And I feel sorry for these Jewish kids. I do. Okay. They instilled a hatred into that one girl. She says, I want to kill the Nazis. Yeah. And Yoav says, they're all dead. Yeah. And she goes, I want to kill their ancestors.
Yeah.
That's what, in the end, they got her. And the ones that were saying, I don't feel them, in the end, they brought them in here. They're playing the violin. It was nighttime. The things are going. They're playing this violin. And all of a sudden, they all start crying.
Yeah. Yeah.
He got them. They got these poor Jewish, kids are brainwashed.
Yeah.
You got them.
Yeah. It's like a
MK Ultra. It's MK Ultra. Yeah. It is. Yeah. And you know what? Don't, and we know this, when you allow this to happen, you go to the devil gets in there.
Yeah.
And then the devil is working in there. Yeah. They're getting possessed even more. When they're over there, they get more and more possessed by devils. And then all of a sudden in the beginning, she's going, I don't feel anything. At the end, oh!
They drug the Cheetos.
Remember the one girl said, she right in front of this building, he says, this is where the Nazis went up to the third floor, second floor, and they threw three Jewish babies out the window. And then Yoav goes, they did what? Like he's going to do what? Oh, yeah, come on.
Remember they lied about those guys on the bench saying that they called.
Oh, that was great. And he caught him.
Yeah, I know.
He put it in.
Yeah, he said.
He's another one top of our list. Yoshimi.
Those two movies are great.
You got
that one and then the.
And I got.
Those are.
And I got the main clips of my Conspiracies of Juice Part 2.
Yeah.
Watch Part 1 also. Yeah. But I got it in there.
Yeah.
You know, you know what I say about him? Why he's so much goodwill? He left it in there, so she lied about him. They call us monkeys and dogs, and he goes, no, they didn't.
Yeah.
Then she said, what is she talking about? We don't understand her. That's what they were saying. But what was the other one he kept in? His grandmother.
Right.
His grandmother. Whoa, she was great.
Yeah.
The Jews are the Jews, they're crooks, they're gangsters. She goes, you sound like an anti-Semite, Grandma. Oh, the Jews in the United States are gangsters. They're crooks. Shikayeli. I love the devil. Yeah, they don't work. They make money off of money. She's telling them all this, you know. Why don't they come over here if they want, in other words, to work for a living or something. He's going, you sound like an anti-Semite. He's the one who got Neil Foxman got pissed off at him.
Yeah.
He's the one that interviewed Rabbi Heck.
Yeah,
that was the other guy I'm talking about, Rabbi Heck. He goes, not every time like a black mugs of Jews at anti-Semitism. Yeah. It's because she was a woman and she was an easy target. So he grabbed her pocketbook, but that's not anti-Semitism. Now you want to make it another crime like you took advantage of a weak woman? Well, then you can double his sentence, but it's not anti-Semitism.
Yeah.
I got a problem with Abraham Fox. He makes some money off of anti-Semitism. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Now he's not coming over for dinner.
Yeah. Now that I said that, he's not going to come over for dinner, but what can I do? Different kinds of Jews.
Yeah.
And there's another one. He's a Chabad guy. Yeah. He had the Lubavitch guy in the background.
Yeah.
But we can convert these guys.
Yeah.
I mean, it's strange things happen. You know, these are the very guys that are working tenaciously to corrupt the whole world and bring it. And then all of a sudden, things can change when they find out how. For St. Paul. St. Paul, he was the number one persecutors of Christians.
That'd be weird too. Imagine the next day,
And then he shows up and he goes, hey, by the way, I'm a Christian.
It said in the scripture they're afraid of him.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Rightly so.
Yeah.
Because they didn't trust him. They went, what's going on here? Is this guy legit? And then he had to have testimonies.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the guy that healed him, the blind, and the whole story, and their own Jewish Christians told them what happened. They went, okay, it's bona fide.
Yeah.
God called him. You know, so this is what we're talking about. But the, anyway, like I just told you, I've been wanting to do this thing. It's another big one. Because you can bring out all evidences. I think me speaking like I did in this lecture says a lot about people who know about politics. But my point is, the reason I was holding off on this lecture is because I'm going to make an official one with all reports and studying it. So I had it like 10 on the list of things I got to do. So I figured, I'm going to do it, but when am I going to do it? I'm going to do it, but when I'm not going to have time to do it. I just finished the Trump thing, doing the Netanyahu thing. I got to go back to the prayer book that Sister Catherine Macon's working on. She's doing a good job on it. She's going through the whole thing for me. She's studying it, looking at everything. And I got to do retractions, and I got to do SCC and all that. So now I did the Putin thing, because it is important. I did want to do it, and I wanted to. I mean, we can get into more details later on if you want, but I think I got the gist of the matter.
You like that word?
Yeah. I got the gist of the matter. What does that mean? That's a high school word. Yeah. I don't even know if kids know speak anymore tonight.
Whoa.